Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come today to your word, Lord, as we look at the last 7 weeks we spent looking at who is Jesus, and today we start a short series on the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'd prepare our minds for the truth of your word. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are in perfect relationship with yourself. That Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, Lord. We got to admit, we both before the message and after the message, we're not going to fully understand what that means. Lord, we cannot fully define you. We cannot fully understand you. You are greater than we are. You are God. We are not. But Lord, as we look at the scriptures and what they teach and what they teach about you, Lord, and what that means of how we worship you, Lord, I just pray that you would open up our hearts right now. Lord, you would prepare us for the truth of your word. Thank you. It's the truth of your word that sets us free. We are free in your love and truth, in relationship with you and knowing your word. Father, we pray that you would prepare us right now. Lord, we pray for those who are still on the way, those who can't be with us today. Lord, I just also pray for those who are listening online. Lord, just pray for the people who are hearing this message, Lord, both here and in other places, Lord. We ask for your blessing upon everyone, Lord. We ask that we would see your word, that it would transform us. And also, Lord, that it would unite us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. So, does anybody here, when we talk about the Trinity, have a few questions come up? I mean, three persons, one God. What in the world does that mean? How can you have three persons and one God? I was talking with Glenn before the service, and he was mentioning, yeah, we got water, it's got ice, it's got the steam, it's got the liquid. You know, there's things that help us see. But God, three persons, three separate persons, and yet unity and diversity in one God. And I love that it says here, community Bible, and this is on the front of our bulletin. Each week it says this. Community Bible Fellowship exists to glorify God through all cultures and ethnicities by exalting Jesus Christ, equipping all believers for the work of ministry, encouraging one another in love, and by evangelizing our world. As unity and diversity is pretty important, isn't it? As we talk about Trinity, one of the things that I hope that you'll have in the back of your head as we go through this is the picture that God gives us of the perfect unity that he has in the diversity of himself is also an example of what we can aim for in unity and diversity. I mean, what does anybody know what university means? Unity in diversity. University. It's where you come together to hear all these ideas and all these differences and come and find common ground in learning. It's such an important part of how we relate to each other. And guys, right now, unity in diversity is taking a hit. People are convinced that, and it's not, it used to be kind of the exception. Now it's becoming the rule that if we disagree on a political issue, or maybe we agree on 95% of things, but if there's a couple things that we don't disagree on, it's not that we need to say, okay, how do we state our positions and respond to it? It's you're evil, and I'm going to crush you. And this mindset, and it's not on one side or the other, it's on all sides. It's all over the place. There's this growing sense of I'm right, we're right, and you're wrong. And the unity part of unity and diversity is going away. You guys, anytime we get away from that, we're in real trouble. And so one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to really understand unity and diversity in the Trinity is because of the picture it gives to us as believers. See, outside of Christ, there is no unity and diversity. And that's the reality, guys, is the government isn't going to solve the problems. But Christ does. Christ does. Our relationship with Him, our relationship with the Word of God and knowing it and living it with each other allows us to come alongside of each other. Ephesians 4:4 through 6 says this: there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord Jesus, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Right here, we've got a picture of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. See, the doctrine of the Trinity is one of the most important doctrines of faith. But the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible. Did you guys know that? The word Trinity isn't found. So when we talk about a major theology for the Christian faith, and the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible, we got to be careful. We got to know this is for real. We've got to understand that there's maybe not a word in the Bible for Trinity, but the teaching of the Trinity is everywhere. And it's a lot of people I know will think about it of only for the New Testament, but it's talked about in the Old and New. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But if we get this teaching wrong on the Trinity, our whole faith will have a broken foundation. Guys, there's only a few things I hold in a closed fist. I have strong opinions on things like how things began and how things will end, but those are secondary theologies. And there's mystery for a reason, because we're not supposed to focus there. And there's things I wasn't there, and I'm probably not going to be there for the beginning and end. There's a lot of teaching out there that it's important to think through what we believe and be able to give reasons of why. But there's great men and women of faith who disagree on a lot of secondary issues. And so we come together and we give reason for what we believe. But the Trinity is something we hold in a closed fist. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Each is independent, but never acting independently. It is impossible to fully understand the mystery of the Trinity because we can't fully understand God. Guys, here's the reality. It takes faith. Now we can understand the theological reasoning and understanding, and we can see from the Word of God all the reasoning for why we believe in the Trinity. And it's very plain if you look at it, if you hold the Word of God up as truth, as God's truth. But to come before God and to think that we can fully grasp the depth of the Trinity, as I study it, I'm humbled. As I study the truth of the Word of God, I'm truly humbled. And I think it's been something that through the ages has humbled people. The Apostles' Creed starts like this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. From early on in the church, that's before 400, from early on in the church, there's been a strong understanding and belief and knowledge of the Trinity. So it's very important for us to really look at it and to know where we're going with it. Sometimes people think that the doctrine of the Trinity is only found in the New Testament, but it's not. I want to go over it here. If God has eternally existed in three persons and one God, don't you think something would be mentioned about it in the Old Testament and not just the New? And so Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" Now, one of the things that's talked about there is, well, you know, maybe he was talking to the angels. But as far as I know, the angels didn't participate in the creation of man. They're not God. So it doesn't make sense that he would say it like that to himself. And he's speaking us and our. Genesis 3:22, in the beginning it says, "And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like us, knowing good and evil.'" Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" We get all these descriptive words and an understanding of the Godhead, the Trinity. And Psalms 45, 6 and 7 says this, "Your throne, O God," Jesus, "will last," and that's talking about Jesus there, and we'll see that when it's referred to in Hebrews 1:8. "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be a scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with oil of joy." Two separate persons are called God in this scripture. How's that possible? And Hebrews 1:8, when the writer of Hebrews 1:8 writes about this, and he takes the scripture from the Psalms, he says, "But about your son." So that's why we know that it's Jesus. "But about your son," he says, and then he quotes the scripture from Psalms. "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." Now, kingdoms have what? They have kings, right? And kingdoms' reigns come and go. We've seen leaders come and go our whole lives. But this kingdom's reign will last forever and ever. Forever and ever. The author of Hebrews applies this verse to Jesus. It's talking about Jesus and God the Father. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Lord Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit, God's redemptive work cannot be fully understood apart from the Trinity. And here's the truth, guys. It's what separates true Christianity from other religions. Unitarians, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Scientists, Mormons, Scientologists, Spiritists, and all other Eastern religions do not accept or teach the Trinity. They don't believe in it, none of them. The Trinity is something that is unique to Christianity. It's unique to truth and faith. And the reason it's unique is because, man, it's the only way that all religions are built on what man does to make them himself or herself right with God. We achieve it by what we do. That's what all the religions are built on, is I can appease God's judgment or be good enough or enter into nothingness by doing the right thing, by being good enough and doing the right thing. And only Christianity, only true faith in Jesus and the understanding of the Word of God, do we have an understanding that there's nothing that I can do to make myself right with God. Guys, there's bad news before there's good news. The bad news is man's tried everything. We've tried judges. We've tried kings. We've tried prophets. You name it, we've tried a way for man to be right with God. And it all leads up, after silence, to coming to Jesus Christ being offered for us. And God's saying, you know what? Do you see now there's no way to make yourself right? But I've got a way. I've always had a plan. It's been the same plan throughout the old and the new. I talked about the coming Christ, the Messiah. You see, I'm in perfect relationship with myself, and I provided a way for you to be with me. I've provided a way for unity, for my unity in diversity to be given to you, for the blessing of that to be experienced by you. Matthew 3, 16 and 17 say, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. A picture for those on earth to see Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And what are they doing? They're involved in what? In the ministry of bringing the gospel to us. The Trinity has a purpose. It's God himself saying, I've created a way, and in my perfect unity of in three persons, one God, I'm providing a way for you to be with me. That's beautiful, guys. It's beautiful. Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke. The Trinity. Matthew 28, 18 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who here has been baptized here? Raise your hand. Okay. I've gotten to baptize a number of you. And one of the things you'll hear me say as I baptize people is, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Back to this scripture. Believers are baptized and discipled. Do you see this in here? Believers are baptized, which represents us coming into faith, the justification, and discipled, the sanctification. Guys, don't miss that. It's so important here that we see we're brought in, made justified, made right with God through faith in Christ Jesus into Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we're discipled in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Unity in diversity. One of the things that I'd really like to give you guys an opportunity to do is either with couples or with families, with their kids, or with you as an individual at home, to have you guys have an opportunity to kind of talk amongst yourselves. And you know, for a number of you, your kids have already headed downstairs. And sometimes it's hard to know how to talk to our kids about faith and, you know, how they're doing in their walks with the Lord. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity for that. And in your bulletin, in the notes, you'll see it says, what are the unique ministries of the Trinity in redemption? And then we're going to be, there's the scriptures here, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And it's giving a number of different, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then if you want to, this isn't in the notes, and I'd encourage you to write this in the notes to have for the time of devotion. And it says, what are some of the ways in which members of your family reflect the diversity found in the members of the Trinity? And just a chance for you guys as individuals, as family members, as a couple, to really reflect how do we connect together? And so that's just something that for this week, if you have a chance, if you don't usually meet together, if you have a chance maybe to have one meal together as a family, if you don't do that regularly, and just kind of go over some ideas, or if you're by yourself, to go over this and chew on it during the week, or as a couple. Guys, as we look at the Trinity, it's very easy for us to kind of get our heads in the wrong place. When we talk about diversity and unity, when we talk about family, is there a head of the family? Who's the head? The father. Guys, I know this is politically incorrect, right? This is something that is offensive to a lot of people, is to say that there's, and what does it mean to be the head of the home, to be the father, to be, it means that you're the one that has a weight of authority. But the father is not the head of the home solely. The father is the head of the home as he's following the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the father follows the father, the wife follows, and the children. Reality, we've got a lot of families that don't have fathers, right? We've got a lot of families that are broken. We've got a lot of pictures around us of things that it's hard to work through. And I got to be honest with you. I remember growing up and hearing pastors, preachers, teachers talk about the Father's love. And it honestly made me mad. As I would hear about Father God, I would take a step back. And it would make me less trusting of hearing about what I was hearing. You see, the reality is, as we talk about unity and diversity, we don't live in a perfect world. And there is so much brokenness around us. And there's so much brokenness in the family. And there's... It's hard for us to understand, how do we come together? How do we really... And so many of... That's why this teaching, guys, on the Trinity is so, so important. Because we're given a picture of how to have right relationships. And you don't have to be married. You don't... To experience the challenge in relationships, right? Relationships are hard. How we relate to each other, it's difficult. But as we look at the example we have in the Trinity, man, in Christ, guys, we have hope. Because in Christ, my goal is not to be right. I hope you guys hear that. In Christ, our goal is not to be right. Our goal is to be loving. Loving God and loving each other. And it doesn't mean we don't stand for truth. It does, but it means we stand for truth in love. As we bring the gospel to people, as we bring the truth of the scriptures to people, if we bring it in an arrogant way, in a condemning way, we're just going to drive people further and further away from the church. But we have a God who loves us, who's made a way for us to be with him. And so because I've been transformed because of what God did for me, I want to go and love other people in a way that encourages them to see God for who he is. Three persons, one God in perfect unity. The Bible makes a convincing defense of diversity and unity of the Trinity. Here's some scriptures with, we'll look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first is the Father. 1 Corinthians 8:6 talks about one God and Father. Ephesians 1:3 says, Father of our Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:4 is talking about The Father is all-powerful. James 1:17, it talks about the Father being unchanging. The author of redemption in Galatians 1, 3, and 4. And the Father of all believers in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18. See, there's unique areas and roles. We live in a world where we're uncomfortable with different roles for different people, where it's politically incorrect to say different people have different roles. Because we were created male and female. That's a good thing. And we shouldn't say women are less valuable unless they're more like men. Or men are less valuable unless they're more like women. We were created in the image of God, male and female. He created them. And we're to celebrate the diversity. We're to celebrate what we have. Women do things men could never do. Praise God. Right? We have different roles. You see, unity and diversity, there's blessing when we receive what God, how God has made us. When we receive what God is doing in us and through us. And when we try to reject that, you know what? Here's something that God's word is clear on. We have different roles, but we're of equal value. Right? Men and women are not equal in how we're created, but we're of equal value in the eyes of God. And God gave us and died for all of us, men and women. And that's a beautiful thing. And we don't need to come up with our own truth and our own way. And guys, it was about... wasn't that many years ago when saying something like this wasn't that controversial? That I remember I was watching the news and they had a study, and I'm not joking. I believe it was Five, Channel Five, because I remember Matt Lauer talking, and he was shocked because they had done all this scientific study. And they had experts on there, and they were saying this, and it was shocking to everybody on the news. It was, men and women are different. Excuse me? How much did you spend on that study, right? Good grief. But we've created a world where it's wrong to say anything. Diversity is beautiful, guys. Diversity is beautiful. It's God's plan. Man, in our sin, wants to make everything like me and mine. That's sin. In God's truth, we come together in our diversity. Praise God, look around this room. This is not a usual church. It should be. If you look around, you see a lot of diversity. Praise God. I call it a taste of heaven. You know why we should be a diverse church here? We live in a diverse community. And I understand if the community is mostly one thing or mostly another, it's going to be mostly that. But in a community like this, 98178. A few years ago, there was a study where the seventh most diverse in the country. That means, guys, as we bring the gospel to our community can affect the world. Because as people come here, a lot of them will do what? They'll go home. They'll go back to their countries, back to families, back to... And as people get saved and come to Jesus here and go back with the gospel or go visit with the gospel, we can touch the world from our backyard. don't know about you, but that's exciting. The Bible makes a convincing defense of the diversity and unity. We talked about the Father in Jesus. Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning. Guys, we went over that, didn't we? And who is Jesus? He has no beginning. He always was. He became incarnate. But he has no beginning. That's John 1:1. John 1:14, he became incarnate. In John 1:17, the author, Jesus is the author of grace and truth. In John 3:16, God's Son, our Savior, is Jesus. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son. 14:31, the Son loves the Father. And in John 10:30, the Father and Son are one. And the Holy Spirit. You know what I call the Holy Spirit? The forgotten Godhead. We picture God the Father. We picture God the Son. But the Holy Spirit? Where is he? Right? It's harder to understand, I think, is part of the challenge. But the Holy Spirit, John 4:24 says, God is Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, he authored the Scriptures. John 16:13 says he guides into all truth. John 14:26, he sent of the Father to us. John 14:17, he dwells within believers. He confirms that we are his in Romans 8:16, and we can be filled with him in Acts 4:31. Yes.
Ananias lied to Peter. He says, you have not lied to men, but to the Holy Spirit. You can only lie to a person.
Yeah.
You can't lie to a force or an influence. You can lie to a person.
Wow. The person of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. As one of the, I don't know about you, but this week, I've read 2 books. Well, one fully and one partially by Billy Graham. He died this week. Think about this. He was born in 1918, and he died this week in 2018, 99 years old. Just under 100 years. Over 70 years of ministry. I've heard a few numbers. I keep looking it up, and I keep hearing different numbers. Somewhere between 200 and 400 million people have heard the gospel from him. I had the honor of being a part of years ago of the preparation for Billy Graham in Seattle. 2 years before the event, he came and was meeting with the pastors in the community and getting all the pastors that would be a part of it. And we started praying and making lists of the different churches so that the next time we met a couple months later, we could get all those pastors. And we kept doing this over and over, bringing more and more people, more and more pastors, more and more churches into praying for what God was going to do. It's not he just waltzes into town, gives a little spiel, and people come to Jesus. It is so many hundreds and thousands of people working together in prayer and unity. All different denominations, but coming under what? The name Jesus. Coming to worship Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Coming to celebrate what Jesus has done on our behalf. And to get the message of the gospel into community. I remember after doing all that prep, he gave a very simple message. It was beautiful. It was a simple gospel message. No giant thrills, no incredible. It was a simple gospel message. And I remember the Holy Spirit was moving. God was on the move. We were praying to God the Father. We were hearing about God the Son. The Holy Spirit was moving, and people kept coming down the aisles. I was very excited because a family member that we brought went down. Some friends, I found out later, went down. Received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. As I can't tell you how exciting it is. We live with so much cynicism. There's so much. We've seen so many people come and go and not live out what they profess to believe, right? We've seen so many evangelists and pastors that have said one thing and done another. And it's not that Billy Graham was perfect, none of us are. But he was committed, and he's a hero of faith for me. He's not a hero of faith because he figured new things out and he found out new ways to worship God. He stuck to this simple message of the gospel. And I just want to ask you this. It's one thing that I think about every time I think about Billy Graham. I'm not going to tell the story, but just ask yourself, who's the guy who led Billy Graham to Jesus? Pretty important. It's pretty significant, wasn't it? It affects a lot of... See, the people we touch with the truth of the gospel, with the truth about the Trinity... Guys, we're not doing this, the reason I share this is I don't want the theology of the Trinity to be without reason of why we talk about it. It's important to have our foundation on what is secure and what is firm and what is real, so that when we build on that foundation, it doesn't come crumbling down. And you've got a man here, Billy Graham, who shared that simple foundation of the gospel. And how many lives were changed because of what Jesus Christ has done in them? And guys, how do they hear if we do not tell them? I want to encourage you, don't just use your words to speak, because words are cheap if they're not backed up by how we live. Because words aren't enough. I appreciated that as I read more about Billy Graham, he would go into, you know, he's traveling all over the world. It's very easy for him to, he's in a new place, often family left behind. You want to know why so many evangelists fall? Lack of accountability. And he always had a team with him. And anytime he would go into a new hotel room, other men would go in and sweep the room, make sure it was safe, make sure a woman wasn't there, make sure something negative wasn't there. Have the accountability with Billy Graham. Why did they do it? Because he wanted it that way. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. There's a reason for the message. And it's clear because it transforms lives. That's why we study the Word of God. I want to end with this. Jude, verses 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Guys, Dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying what? In the Holy Spirit. When we pray, guys, we don't pray in and of ourselves. We're praying to God. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And one of the things that we see in Scripture is the Godhead is in us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are a part of us. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We don't have just the Holy Spirit. We have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in us. We're not in this alone. That means when the challenges come, guess what? We get to face them with God in us. We don't face the challenges in our own strength. We face them with God in us moving through us. And God always provides a way for us to get through the opportunity to sin or not to sin. We don't have to fall. We don't have to stumble. Reality in our brokenness, sometimes we do. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we do things for me. Sometimes the God I worship is this God, this broken vessel. And we have a God who loves us so much that he provided a way for our sin even to be dealt with. There is no sin that is greater than the love and grace of God. Guys, no sin that you commit. The only thing you can do is receive it or reject it. You can say, yes, I need God. Or you can say, you know what? No, thank you. And God will give us what we... He doesn't force himself on us. He is sovereign. He does choose us, but we choose him. That's another topic. But guys, God loves us. And he's provided a way for us through this world, through the choices and the hardships of what we face. I want to encourage you, do not do it alone. Know that God is with you and pray. Also, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are created in the image of God. We are relational beings. We are not meant to be an island. You cannot honor God and go cave and hide. How we honor God is by loving him and loving the people around us and living out our faith and reaching out to those who don't know him yet and praying for their souls. You got somebody who's a mess, somebody who's hard to deal with, pray for them. You got somebody who's driving you crazy, pray for them. You got a boss who's on your case, pray for them. You got somebody who's working for you, who is just constant extra work for you, pray for them. Spend time with them. Get to know them. It's a beautiful thing. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourself in God's love. With all the challenges that this world is facing, what would be different if we kept ourselves in God's love? If people shared with us things about the people they know, and rather than participating in the tearing them down, we honored them. What if when somebody left the room and other people started speaking about them, we didn't allow that to continue? We didn't do it obnoxiously, but we just built them up when they left rather than tearing them down when they left. What if people knew that if they were around you, they were safe because you represented a God who loves them? What if the way we acted was different than the way the world acted? What if we lived in a different way that people saw God in us? Guys, we can't fully understand the Trinity. We can't. But it makes sense that we can't fully define God. Because then we'd be God. But he is greater than us, and we can't fully understand him. But because he is who he says he is, it gives us, as we come to faith in him by Jesus Christ, by his death, burial, and resurrection, and receiving and following Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going from spiritual death to spiritual life, it gives us a hope that's a living hope. A living hope in him. Do you know him? If you want to find out more about him, talk to somebody here. Talk to somebody around you. Talk to myself. Talk to the elders. Talk to the deacons, the deaconesses. Talk to the person who invited you. Guys, we love you very much. And we love you in Christ. And we're in this together. We get to do this together. It's a joy. Praise God for it. I want to just make sure that you guys know after the service, we're going to be meeting downstairs for meal. I'll mention that again at the end of the service. But potluck today. But guys, man, we're in this together. Unity in diversity, as seen in the Trinity. Praise God for what we have. Let's pray. Aaron, can I have you close us in prayer? Thanks, brother.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for what we have heard on today. We thank you, Lord, for giving us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes just to see you, Lord, in a greater way as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, as we continue, Lord, to look upon you and behold you, that you would give us an understanding of who you are. We trust you, God, and we just thank you, Lord, that there is peace that you give, Lord, that the world cannot understand or even give. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that you give, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the hope. Because without you, Lord, we are hopeless.
Yes, Lord.
We are dark, Lord. We're broken. We thank you, Lord, that you are the light of this world and you come to bring understanding, Lord, to make it all make sense. We thank you, Lord, for the love. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We just pray for those, Lord, who have heard your word on today, whether they came in the very beginning or right at the end, God. Lord, you know all things from the very beginning, from the end. We thank you, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning. And God, we just thank you, Lord, and trust you today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your divine revelation. We just thank you, Lord, for the love and unity that's in this place today, God, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. Lord, we continue, Lord, just to pray for our nation, Lord. And
yes, Lord.
Nothing takes you by surprise, Lord, that you know. And Lord, we just trust you, Lord, that you're working all things together for your body, for your people, for the church, God. We just thank you, Lord, on today. We pray, Lord, as we leave this place, and we continue, Lord, to focus upon you. Continue, Lord, to draw us closer to you, Lord, and breathe upon us, God, your life. Lord, we thank you today. And as we actually go out to fellowship, Lord, that we continue, Lord, to just to think about you, Lord, and to talk about your word. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.